Hello and welcome back to another episode of State of the Shoe Union, the only sneaker podcast that you'd actually be happy to get in a game of White Elephant this year. I'm your co-host, Ryan Landry.
I'm your most subscribed co-host, Tanner Young.
Have you had one of those go on yet, the game of White Elephant with the co-workers or anything?
Doesn't seem like we're doing White Elephant this year. We chose Secret Santa.
Okay, Secret Santa, so always a fight. A little bit better. You make your own list. People get it. White Elephant's always fun until you get to that point of the night where someone gets a gift they really want and they don't actually want to lose it, but then someone gets it and then it's like, uh-oh, hurt feelings at the company party?
Ooh, no, the worst is when someone gets a gift that they don't want and the whole time, and early on, and the whole time they're just like, boy,
making a fuss about it.
This? Yeah. You don't want to steal this? Cause yeah,
it's like that episode of The Office where he gets the homemade like oven mitts.
Yeah,
very much. Well, I brought
the iPod.
Yeah, but we can only be talking about holidays because we're getting to that point where it's end of the year, wrapping up our year. For those of you listening, make sure you head on over to our YouTube channel because this is a video episode. If you haven't already, please like and subscribe. You got to say those things because we're coming at you. Part two, the old 1-2 sneaker of the year 2022 gauntlet does not end.
Absolutely not. Gonna be a pretty good one this year.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it. Should I lay out the courses?
Categories?
Trying courses? To think of like we're a server.
Yeah. Something like that. And to be fair, we got a little bit of a mix-up from how we normally do it and from even how we said we're going to do it last week. So now is probably a good time to let people know what's going to happen.
There you go. Yeah, so if you haven't tuned into part one, please pause this, move over, watch part one. It was a nice one. So as we promised, part two coming in, but we did lie a little bit.
Uh-oh.
A little lie. I know we teased that we were going to do our sneaker of the year in part 22. However, Ryan, today, day of recording, called
the
me
audible.
Said I'm changing some stuff real quick. So actually not going to do sneaker of the year in part two. But I think when we do sneaker year, we're going to do it even bigger than we've done before. And I'm very excited for it. So hopefully our excitement will be your excitement.
Very well put. To explain where that's coming from, I think we'll probably actually end up retitling these episodes Best Sneakers of 2022, Part 1 and Part 2. That way we can have a dedicated episode to sneaker of the year for people who don't want to sit through everything else, which, shame on you, it's good content. Yeah. But
please,
if you just want to cut to the chase, we're going to have the chase for you at a very short time.
Exactly. So, on the menu for Part 2.
Okay. Courses. Yeah, course is like a menu, not class. Yeah. Okay.
No,
it's late, but the water's kicking in. I'll get with you.
There you go. There you go. We're going to cover best retro for an appetizer. Entree number one is going to be favorite shoe that you got this year. So, again, not something that came out this year, just something that got this year.
Could be, but doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be, yes. Right, yes. Right. Entree number two is going to be worst sneaker / biggest disappointment. That's a
big
plate.
Always a big plate. Save your appetite, honestly.
Yes, honestly. And then for dessert, best storytelling.
Yeah.
So while you think you may be full from Ryan and I's answers, save room because this is Ryan's. You know, this is his spot right here.
I think he
shoehorned this one in. I think his whole dog and pony show was to get this in because he didn't have enough in part one.
Listeners will be keen to note he was very reserved. It was a long term play. So best collabs, he kept it short. He kept just one honorable mention. What's that? Snuck in a second category to talk about him again.
Is best storytelling the same as best collab?
No. No, but that's why it deserves its own category. So we're going to get into it.
There you
go.
Exactly. All right. Enough chit-chat.
Yep.
Enough going in. Ryan, let's go ahead. Let's start this bad boy off.
What am I doing there? That's right. PowerPoint.
Ooh. Oh, PowerPoint. Wow.
You like that?
This is, I did enjoy that. Also, you may be noticing, starting off this episode, again changing, best retro, Tanner and Ryan's pick. Yep, you guessed it. Turns out we like the same stuff.
Are they changing the format because they're edgy and dynamic? Or are they changing the format because they're old and washed up? You be the judge.
You tell us. So
please, in the comments.
Yeah, oh, that would actually be great. I'll do the honorable mention if you want to okay. Talk about the first place.
Sure.
So our honorable mention this year was the Yeezy 350 Turtle Dove. Honestly, this is probably the Yeezy shoe that really kicked everything off. Has always been chasing this colorway. When this came out, it was in, I would say, probably peak of that athletic shoe. Funny enough, to kind of look back, I feel like this was this came out around like the dominant Roshi era, which is just,
oh, for sure. That was their whole intention with the 350, was for it to be the Roshi killer.
So it's in retrospect, as you know, obviously hindsight is everything. So it's very funny to see the dominance that brand took over in comparison to what Roshi, you know, quickly burned out for.
Yeah.
And the Turtle Dove, I think you when it first came out, I can't remember, one of us was very about it and the other one was like, I don't really know about this. I know the 750s, you immediately were like,
yeah,
on it. Yeah. But this one was is such an iconic colorway. They seemed like just kind of out of the blue dropped it. The first time we've had like a V1 version ones, if we want to call the original
V1 retro. Yeah.
350 retro, kind of dropped. Obviously there was a ton of drama around the time when it dropped of, who
was had to say so.
Yeah. Well, for the shoot, just the shoot, not the designer. And it's just an iconic shoe. It's just an iconic shoe. Absolute, beautiful shoe. And it was great to see it retro, and we'll see what the future holds for 350s.
Yeah, well, this is very breaking news. This is a very timely episode that we're doing it. There's just now rumors, leaks, whatever you want to call them, of first 350 that's going to release next year without the Yeezy branding. Spoiler alert, it looks exactly the same. But I don't want to sidebar real quick, but I think I read they're keeping the price point the same, which is kind of hilarious. Ooh, but
we're going to see how that goes.
Back to the shoe that we're here to talk about. If you haven't watched it, I know, like, so far this episode has been a lot of like patting ourselves on the back and taking laps around the course. But if you haven't watched it, I actually did an unboxing video on these when I got them. It's on our YouTube channel. You should check it out. That'll tell you a lot of my thoughts about like fit, sizing, how it holds up compared to the V2. So the fun little anecdote that I'll sprinkle on there today is that I know you're trying to recall which one of us loved them, which one of us maybe wasn't so keen on them when they first came out. What you might be thinking of is the fact that I liked them, but didn't want to pay for them. So I bought a fake pair of them, a laughably bad fake pair of them. But this was still when I was really kind of getting my feet wet and like, what sneakers could I buy that's not the Vans Skate High? And this triple digits in dollars, like over 100. This was right around that time I was actually starting to get more into it. So paying the retail for these, laughably thinking I had a chance at paying retail for these, but was out the window anyway. So yeah, I bought a very bad fake pair of these that I honestly wish I still had, because that would be a fun episode to do around.
Yeah, you did turn them into a pretty cool mask though.
When COVID started.
So I thought you did them, you gave them probably a better life than the actual shoe itself, or you just are stunting in your neighborhood, cutting the grass, turn them into the some lawn shoes.
The one time I remember wearing the face mask that I'd made out of the fake Yeezys. Again, this was like right at the beginning of the pandemic, so face masks aren't like a thing you can go buy in store. This was when it was like, if you have a t-shirt you could wrap around your face, that would be good. The one time I remember wearing it was through the Zaxby's drive-thru. That's
amazing.
I'm sure the workers were like, what a weird timeline we live in.
What an actual weird timeline.
Good shoe though. Good shoe to retro with all the hype behind it. I think you did it really well.
Agreed.
Coming in then though, at our first place, our shared number one for best retro of the year is going to be the Nike Air Jordan 1 Lost and Found. Now, hang on, Keyboard Warriors. That's not a retro. That's new for this year. Here's the thing.
All right.
It is and it isn't. I'll hear either side of the argument, but it's the Chicago Jordan 1 that's been aged to look like it comes out. And there's nothing wrong with that because it's top of our list. It's right 100%. Up there. It's right up there. It's number one.
It's a phenomenal shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phenomenal shoe. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's a Chicago one, you know? Yeah. Since maybe we have upset some keyboard, you know, some sneaker, forum people, I'll upset them even more.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to say it right now.
Hang on. I walked past and my shoe might've brushed an anthill, and you looked back and you went, bet I'm doubling. You're choosing violence right now.
Yeah. 100%. I think this is my favorite version of the Chicago one.
Wow, that is
my favorite version.
I wouldn't call that the most controversial, but it's definitely a take.
I think it's a take to say you like these more than
OGs. But I think if you were like, I like the Spider-Man Jordan 1s more than original Chicago ones, people would get flack. This one I can honestly see, but tell me why you feel that way.
I am a huge fan of the like pre-weathered look and the distressed look to it. Into 2022 that's been my year. I know we've had like bits, you know, we've had the corduroy year.
It's corduroy lifestyle, baby.
Corduroy
lifestyle. We're out here. Corduroy boy. Change the Instagram name right now.
I just love a distressed shoe. I love a distressed look, the age to it. I'm all for it. The cracked leather, the box, yellowed
the little receipt.
Sole.
Come on.
Everything all right. Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like it's a when they come pre-distressed, it's almost like it's like, hey, remember.
Permission to wear. Absolutely. Yeah.
So but yeah, I don't think a super controversial take, but
no.
I think a take in general.
Yeah. Obviously a great shoe. I would say there's at this point in my life, at best one shoe a year where I go bananas entering literally every raffle I can find on the internet. And that was this one, every single raffle, which I mean, it takes your odds from none to slightly better than none. But if you don't do it, you know,
exactly.
And still couldn't get a pair, which bummer.
Tough.
I only said it a million times on our podcast, but if this is your first time listening, these were originally supposed to release on our wedding day. And we got married in Chicago. So I was really trying to make the stars align on the, but then they pushed it back to November 17th. And I was like,
C'est la vie.
Life goes on. And the list goes on.
Ooh,
favorite pickup.
Ooh, I think a good one. I think a fun little category today.
A wholesome one.
Yeah. This one honestly was a little tough for me. But I went with my honorable mention was a Vans. Honestly, again, shocker with everything I just said.
I want to hear this story.
Stress look. So it is a more wholesome reason rather than of the shoe itself. So forever ago, we had gotten Jules, my little boy, a pair of like black Vans. Ashley had a pair of black Vans, and now I have a pair of black Vans. So for the first time in our family and maybe the only if one of the few times that probably all three of us will have the same pair of shoes. Obviously me and Jules will definitely do it once he gets
that's
older.
That's gonna happen, yeah.
But there's not a lot of shoes that I think Ashley will be like, I want and will wear.
Yeah.
So it was just a cute little moment. And then I had some birthday cards, like some gift cards to politics. And these were just so happened to be there. Doesn't hurt that they come distressed. Definitely might take some sandpaper to them because the distressed down on the midsole is very glossy. So it kind of takes away.
Like they distressed it and then finished over the top of it?
Yeah, 100%. So very much takes away from the distressed look that they were
going for. That's hilarious. I didn't know that about these.
Yeah, and it's like super obvious too. It's like a very shimmery like look to it. So I'm like, okay. So it's
how did you really make mud look new?
Yeah. Very, very, That's hilarious. more of a wholesome.
Okay.
Which is why it took the honorable mention over the, original honorable mention I was going to put in there.
Okay.
And my number one for favorite shoe that I ended up picking up this year, which probably shouldn't be a huge surprise, is going to be the Gel Light 3s, Always Ready by Sneaker Politics. Again, this one really just took because of just how big of a moment that was for the podcast, for the both of us, just to be a part of that, to be thought of, politics wanting to at least give us the opportunity to be a part of a sneaker release. And then, like I said, just thinking of us, it doesn't hurt that this is a very comfortable shoe to wear, and it looks pretty dang good. I did not have a green shoe, so this really, I mean, that checked that off the box.
There you go.
And like I said, really good look. I think execution was done well. I know we talked about this in part one. So both of mine more, I guess, sentimental, personal things for me.
Your favorite pickup. It ain't got to be nothing. Doesn't have to be something hyped.
Darn tootin'. Darn tootin'. Yeah. So your boy went, since it was, you know, Christmas, you know, the heart was growing, you know, two times
the Grinch
size.
Over there.
Exactly.
Love it.
Exactly.
Love to see it.
Yeah. So that was me. What about you? Let me tell you what, for me, easy thing. Okay. For you, if you've been watching some,
we did have a good year for sneakers.
I mean, my boy was knocking him out the park.
I feel bad because there's no way to talk about it without sounding like, you know, like humble brag and light flexing and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But can I say it just to say it? Cause it's context and I'm not trying to like brag about it, but I did a lot of buying and selling this year, not like straight up a lot of like new pairs of sneakers, reselling them, but like old pairs that I wasn't wearing, clothes, just stuff like that, selling for, I was tracking in a Google Doc, a sneaker fund. And only when I had enough money to get what I wanted from selling stuff would I allow myself to buy it. All that preamble to say, the two shoes on this list beat out the Amma Mineer Jordan 3 and the Sean Witherspoon 97 ones, both of which I picked up this year, both of which obviously been on my list for a while. But these shoes to me were sentimental, more important than that.
Ooh.
Honorable mention we're going to come in with, and the list is probably not going to be much surprise, but the Dizygotic Project Alpha Momotaro pack. And let's go ahead. Well, I'll just put number one on the screen because we're going to talk about them together. Of course, the Sneaker Politics Asics Gel Light 3, Always Ready. Again, I don't mean to sound like humble brag, light flex, whatever you want to call it, but like, it can't be lost on us, like, non-ironically, what a big moment for the podcast both of these shoes were. Like
100%.
I know we've said it a million times, but I will continue to say it a million times. Insane that both of these happened. Just insane. It's so weird and wild and cool and like awesome, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy to think. I still remember. I will always remember sitting in Mel's eating and you FaceTiming me and then being like, "Hey, you need to call me back." Whenever.
I've gotten better because I know, like today, I texted you, "Hey, are you busy? Not an emergency."
Not an emergency.
I have to let him know, not an emergency. Which to you, that might as well be, "Hey, are you busy? It's shoe related." Like, I'm never texting you in the middle of the day, "Can you call me?" Right.
Yeah. Honestly, we would have had the exact same list again for our pickups if it wasn't my family sentimental beating out, because I also would have put the Dizygotics as my honorable mention, because that was the first time that had happened for us, the podcast, that I never thought that would be a thing. Completely, again, with both of them unsolicited, just reached out, "Hey, we believe in this." And honestly, since that moment happened, you know, it has been, I haven't had any contact with the people who contact us on the Shoe Podcast IG, and we've talked them up a ton.
Yeah.
Because it is straight up just like, once we got it, we were like, okay, yeah, this is...
The quality's there. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I wore them, the Dizygotics, in Chicago. It's the only pair of shoes I bought. Never had any foot problems.
Yeah.
My feet never hurt, never got blisters, and I walked up and down that city. So, yeah, again, both of these, super great. And and again, you know, both of us went sentimental with the pickups of the year.
Two quick things I'll throw in before we move on here.
I'm here.
Again, plugging the podcast. If you haven't checked it out, also did an unboxing video on the politics. Always be plugging threes on the YouTube. Make sure you check that out. And secondly, and we're gonna break the wall for a bit here. We're gonna break from the presentation. Listen to everyone listening out there. There's a little bit of proof in the pudding here that if you send us shoes, you're going to get a lot of airtime out of it. Because here we are, it's got to be more than 6 months later, and we're still talking about both these shoes. I'm just put that out there. Size 11, size 11. You doing 10 and a half or you doing 11? Both 11. I'm doing 11 now. Keep it easy on you. Size 11. Ask for the address. We'll get it to you. That's all I'm going to say.
Just 100%. 100%. We'll just give you actually one address. You don't even got to do two addresses.
I'll make it easy on you. Put them in one box.
Just put them in one box. Super easy.
I have to get that out of the way. Let's keep it moving.
Ooh.
Oh. Wow. Here we go. Here we go. It is time.
Yeah, this is going to be the good one. This is going to be the good one. So,
worst sneaker / biggest disappointment. In your mind, are those things synonymous or could they be different?
I think they can be different.
Yeah.
Because there are, I would say my honorable mention is a disappointment.
Okay.
And I think my number one is just worst.
And you could vouch now as a dad, being disappointed almost worse than being a bad sneaker.
Almost worse, yeah.
If you have a parent, which most of you I would say do, you've probably heard, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. Cuts deeper. I wish you were just mad at me, honestly. Just be mad.
It does. And honestly, like for my honorable mention, it just put it up on there. If I feel like I keep fussing on my kid for the same
that is true thing. You're a parent that won't let go.
I keep like because they keep making the same mistake. How many times on the podcast have we said Adidas is like one of the worst at doing collabs? They are so bad. Here's the thing. You chose an anime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you chose a cartoon, which is a fantasy world. So there's so many things you can do with that.
Right.
Okay. You chose nostalgia bait for the minimals. That. Millennials.
No, for the minimalists too.
Minimalists. Okay, well.
If I'm only going to watch one show, it's going to be Yu-Gi-Oh!
And then you're like, yo, let's do this crazy silhouette. And then you basically just laser print the two big deck. On there,
big deck energy, is that what we're calling
it? And it's not even like the cool aspects of the card. It's literally just like, yo, what if we just like deleted the background and just had the character on there? It's like, what?
Yeah,
I'm just I honestly shouldn't be disappointed because Adidas has shown me that they don't 8 out of 10 times they're gonna do a bad collab.
It's almost like they're not listening.
They really aren't. They really aren't. The slides that were a part of this pack were probably better.
Yeah. I got to hold you accountable for a second here for the audio only listeners. What shoe are you talking about right now?
Sorry. Yes. This is the Adidas ADI 2000 Yu-Gi-Oh.
I hate to make you do that because I hate to think anyone's choosing to listen when they could be watching. But if you are, I respect your choice. You're committed if you already stuck this far in the episode. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'll do. I just won't say the shoe, so they have to watch the video.
We could tell you at the beginning of every episode to subscribe and watch it on YouTube, but what's better is to force you to come watch it on YouTube.
Views of you. I don't care.
Is this Silicon Valley? Is this big tech? Wow. Okay.
It's just lazy. It is just lazy. And again, Adidas, I should have known, but it was so I was just disappointed. And seeing these in person, I was even more disappointed because they look even worse. So my first place will go to Mischief, and it is the AC1. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've heard about it. You may not have. It is a orthopedic boot.
Yeah.
That they made to a sneaker.
No, so here's what I've been wanting to ask you since I saw this on the list. Is it a sneaker?
So if you, from what Mischief says, it's,
all right.
they do say it's not necessarily a sneaker, but it's also not a orthopedic boot. Gotcha. So I'm like, okay, so what is it?
It's like a platypus.
Which to be fair, Mischief is pretty known for doing like some kind of like super out there things. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe they were trying to do the whole, hey, we're going to do something that's not necessarily seen as fashion, turn into fashion. To me, I don't know. I just thought this was trying to make fashion out of
little edgy
things that I don't really, I didn't really get what this was going. I didn't know, like, are you trying to, like, what about people who, like, are forced to wear this? Like, they don't have an option, you know? So I just was like, I didn't think it was good, which I think they also thought it wasn't good. I think there was obviously the community also thought it wasn't good, because as soon as you heard about this, they released, and then you just didn't hear about them anymore.
That is true.
They quickly moved away from this, which I think were like, I don't think this publicity stunt or whatever it was supposed to be, obviously it didn't play out. So, yes, is it a shoe? Again, if you go look on their website, they're like,
no, it is. Oh, well, if they say it's not, I don't know.
They don't really clarify. They're not really specifically as to what it is. So, but it's definitely not an you can't buy it and use it as like an actual medical device. So I assume a weird overshoe sneaker. Not entirely sure.
Okay.
But a big miss for me this year. Big miss for Mischief, which is weird because they do great stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Fair enough. I think a warranted take, we would call that one.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm glad. Well, what got your britches all bunched up this year?
Let me go ahead and let me let you know my honorable mention. And it's so funny because if I hadn't written it down, I would have forgot this came out. But the Jordan, the Nike Air Jordan 1 Rebellion Air. Here's the punchline I wrote 6 months ago that I've been sitting on until we did this episode. If Jared Leto's the Joker, fuck, he waits 6 months to tell that punchline and fumbles over it. If Jared Leto's the Joker and the Shadow had a baby, it would be this shoe. And I remember, shout out to all of the boutiques that did the most in trying to pump this up and hype this up and did little interesting ad campaigns. Like, shout out Politics. They got Chef Mason Hereford over from Turkey and the Wolf wearing a pair of these. Like, did a really cool shoot. But it's just, you know, their shoot, not the shoe.
Yeah.
We don't need this. This reminds me of, like, the Bred Jordan ones that I think came out that said banned all over them or something. And it's like, just, I don't know who this is for. This is so upsetting. Honestly, I know you just retroed Shadows like 4 years ago. I would have been happy with bring Shadows back.
Yeah.
Just do another Shadow retro.
Yeah. Boy, let me tell you what, if you're in seventh grade and drink Monster, then these are your shoes.
This is ginormous Kyle energy right here.
Oh, I will call it. I'll call it. Are you going to the Monster Jam?
Okay, hold on.
With your stepdad?
Okay, you got me again. Yeah. Just, and this isn't disappointment. This is just bad. This is like, just does not need to exist. I don't know.
Yeah, this is one of those, who is this for?
But I'll tell you one that's checking both boxes for me. Both biggest disappointment and worst sneaker. Easily for me got to be the Cactus Plant Flea Market and Nike CPFM Flea 1 Overgrown, a.k.a. the Grinch Stomp 1s. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
And I'll tell you why it's worst sneaker, because you're looking at it. That's, if you want to come argue with me, don't. But if you want to know why it's biggest disappointment, it's because the thing I talked about in the last episode as well, that I don't know if it's still going to come out or what, but that original collab that they leaked, I was so excited for. And that was a year ago we were talking about it, that it was going to come out for this year. And then I remember when this one surfaced and the internet was like, so do you shave it down to get to that other shoe? Is this a different shoe entirely? And then it was like, it's a different shoe entirely. And I'm like, phew, okay, I can still have the one that I want. And then it was like, this one's releasing. And we're like, what about the other one? They're like, this one's releasing. Just,
we're not talking about that.
And I think it's been funny and entertaining to watch people give them a fade to do a high and tight on these. But at the same time, it's so funny to watch people shave them. And then you see them shaved and you're like, oh, still bad. Not any better underneath there. Yeah.
Turns out shaving it was the wrong choice.
Not better, not worse, but
yeah.
The only saving grace I see is when people take the included giant white swooshes and put those on the side, because I think that makes it look a little bit interesting. But
it's a tough one.
Yeah, I really don't get what they were going for. I get the Overgrown, I've been waiting for you. But, you know, It's like, would you rather your shoes grow into this or get mold like the Lost and Found Jordan ones? Like, if your shoes have been lost, what would mold. You rather they just keep growing or they become moldy?
It's like, yeah, I'm gonna go with mold. Not that my shoes are sentient creatures. Because then it's like, what am I putting my foot into?
Exactly. Yeah. Am I going to become the Grinch?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. Let's get it off the screens.
Let's get best storytelling.
Okay.
All right, I'll be quick for the people. I know why they're here. I know why they stuck around. They're like, this guy doesn't even keep boxes.
This guy didn't even give Tanner a slide. Why does it just say Ryan's picks?
Ryan's picks part two.
Ryan's picks part two. Or Ryan's encore. Also picks encore.
So of course, this was also one of the more difficult categories for me.
A little bit of a last-minute curveball, admittedly.
True, true. So, honorable mention, I ended up going probably a layup of one, but the Air Jordan 1, Chicago, lost and found. I think that's fair. Great concept. I think a great story. I like how they... I do like their take on bringing back the shoe that started it all, but was still... You know, when it came out, unfamiliar, did it, you know, they obviously didn't know the history it was going to make. And letting the generations that obviously never had an opportunity to live that. And I think that was a really cool idea. You know, the same thing, what I really nerded about over when I got my infrared Air Maxes was a lot of the details they used for this shoe were very similar to the 1985 release with a bigger swoosh and all of these things. So, you know, they really took a lot of detail with the shoe. And then obviously, you know, the cracked leather, the yellowed midsole, the original box, the wrapping is, you know, all of, you know, the old Michael Jordan pictures from
the receipt
to make it, you know, to, you know, seem like, you know, you bought it in the 80s. So I thought it was great all around.
I got to ask you a question on these because we're going to be talking. Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about this shoe so much. It's obviously been on a lot of the list. When you talk about what makes this release cool, how much of it for you is weighted by the sneaker itself and the aging they did there? And how much is it weighted by all the packaging and details that went into that? Because I'll tell you real quickly where I come from. If they'd released a normal Chicago Jordan 1, but had all the packaging the way it was, I think I'd be equally as excited.
I think so. I think I would be, if I would be giving the, honestly, if I'm given the choice between everything's the same, except you have basically just a retro Chicago 1 or the Lost and Found Chicago 1, I'm going to go Lost and Found Chicago 1.
Okay.
Yes, the purposed weathered look, I this year have just fallen in love with. And I would choose that. Now, I would still be, if they did everything the exact same and was just like, this is just a retro Chicago 1 as if you bought it in 1985 brand new, I still think just as cool. Honestly, but they could do that again.
It comes with the mismatched box, the receipt.
100%. I think they do that. They could just do it again. If Nike's like, yo, you just want to start printing money, you do this whole release exactly the same, but you have a clean Chicago 1, I think you make more money. I think you make even more money.
For those of you listening, December 19th, 2022, 9:53 p.m., admitted on the record that the packaging is playing a role here. This from season one, Tanner.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, hang on. No, now that he knows what I tricked him into, now he's...
Now, I did say that I would choose the Lost and Found. I'm just saying Nike could easily be like, yo,
got him.
Yeah, you almost did.
We almost got. I should not have admitted to it. I should have called it out at the end of the episode. All right. Mental note.
Pledge cards. You said.
Showed the hand.
But yes, I would say the distressed look is what is selling me on this shoe.
Yeah.
Because all those things are cool. However, they will go in a. If I did have them, they would go in a box, and then that box would go in a closet, and then I just wouldn't see it, and it would be lost and found. It would be lost and found.
No, but here's the thing. As someone that does that, but then you know you have it.
You did.
It's
know
not
you
so
have
much
it.
About yeah. look yet. It's about knowing you have it. And if you wanted to once, maybe twice a year, you could go look at it and go, huh, neat.
Look at that receipt.
It looks like it's from the original.
Yeah. Now, the receipt thing could be cool if you were able to get it in person and they filled out the receipt in person. That would be a cool thing.
Wow. He's dropping gems for free? He's letting Nike eat the... Nike's eating right now.
Yeah, 100%.
Again, so, size 11, one address, two pairs. Yeah. Thank you.
Come on. Please and thank you. Please.
I'll make sure Tanner gets his pair. Don't worry. You won't see me with two. You might, but...
Well, you'll see him with two boxes. Keep a box. One to rock, one to stock. Box edition.
Box edition.
And then my first place is going to be, again, probably no surprise with the LA love that we have, is the Nike Air Force One NOLA. Mm-hmm. I would say these are two different because I'm not the biggest fan of the Air Force One NOLA aesthetically, and I am a huge fan of the Lost and Found aesthetically. Yeah. But I am definitely a little particular more towards the storytelling of the Air Force One NOLA. Growing up in Southern Louisiana, being, you know, a couple of hours from New Orleans, obviously, the Hot Boys played a huge role in a lot of people musically down here, culturally, in South Louisiana. I mean, it's very hard to go to any event in Southern Louisiana and not hear anything from that era, from the late 90s to the 2000s. They totally took over. I thought this was a great homage. And again, both of them, storytelling-wise, was let's bring back this culture from a time that a generation didn't get to experience and then bringing it to them now. So that they can experience it. And again, just both of them are very anti-gatekeeping and are very like, hey, you didn't get to experience this awesome part of culture. Let's give you this moment. And I thought Sneaker Politics did a phenomenal job with this rollout with the whole block party thing, you know, just party atmosphere in general. Obviously, you had DJ Manny Fresh Air, which huge factor in that whole sound and culture. Music, signing shoes, doing some custom stuff. Obviously, all the guys in at Politics, everybody who was working with Politics, you know, the full like khaki suits that they were wearing, fits,
yes,
were great. You know, so the whole thing very much just and that is what sold me on the storytelling.
Okay,
was the moment that it wanted to create and the culture that it wanted to rejuvenate and bring to a new generation. And again, just showing why you should have love for South Louisiana and for New Orleans is because that city showed out in droves to relive this culture and to just try to experience a culture that, you know, they just weren't ever to be a part of. So that is why the Air Force One NOLA got, for me, best storytelling, is just everything that it wanted to bring. And again, just showing love to an amazing city.
Now, someone that rightfully gives me a little bit of a hard time for talking a long time on storytelling, I got to say that's probably your longest bit in the episode.
That might be.
That's probably it right there. I mean, I don't know what to add that you didn't say. The only thing I will add that I think the cool thing about this category, which is a weird thing to say because it was my idea to add it, so it's like the thing I love most about my own idea. But the cool thing about this category is this is a good category for I love the story, but I might not love the execution, which is how I feel about this sneaker, where I'm like, I love the era that they were capturing with this sneaker.
Yep.
A patent leather, all white with loose glitter. It's not a laminate. It's loose glitter on the side of it. Just like so many little detail. I don't know if you want to call them little details, but details like that, like if you would change it just to the opposite, I feel like it'd be a lot more wearable, but that's the good thing. You can still, it tells the story though, you know?
Hey, yeah. And that's kind of was the, for my number one, I don't really like the shoe, but I love the storytelling more, which makes me like it. And then for my honorable mention, the storytelling is fine. I mean, it's there, but I'm not in love with it, but I'm in love with the shoe.
There you go.
So that is, that was a fun thing. Yes, that was a very fun thing about this category, me picking it and kind of seeing this visual was like, oh, both of them are kind of similar, but then I love them for opposite reasons. So yeah. It was very cool to see them and that moment kind of click for me. So appreciate the visual, Ryan.
Yeah, good list. Good list. Of course. We got you. Right back there.
All right.
Right back there.
There it is. Whoop. All right. Here we go. The moment
buckle up,
that
kiddos.
Ryan has been waiting for.
Grab those nighttime gummies and get comfortable with your favorite book. Maybe a little cup of hot cocoa. It's time to settle in. We got stories to tell here. Honorable mention for me is going to have to be the eBay and Nike Dunk Low, the Sandy Bodecker. Just from the moment I first saw this shoe, I got excited because this is a very iconic part of SB Dunk history, but it's also strangely iconic because, like, such a limited moment. Like, it's not tied to a major release. The moment was that they'd made two pairs of these. They had one that was auctioned off. And to prove that the pair that was auctioned off was the only one in existence, they cut the other one like this with like a bandsaw or something right down the middle into sections. If I'd done my homework better, I would tell you exactly what year that happened and how long it's been since then. But needless to say, there obviously hasn't been much like Nike referencing that moment aside from here and there every now and then. So to see this come back, especially after, you know, rest in peace, Sandy Bodecker, the legend, passing, is like very cool, a little bit out of left field, but super appropriate and timely. To that point, and to the point that I was making on the shoe, you know, the Air Force One that you were just talking about, I don't find it to be that wearable. Like, I love this artistically. I really went for a pair for shelf candy because I was like, this is going to be great to have on a shelf. I feel like, you know, as a sneakerhead and someone that really loves storytelling and the history of like these bigger releases and things like that, this is super cool to have and to tell people about and show people and explain why this weird looking shoe exists. And they go, well, do you wear it? I go, oh no, absolutely. It's not one of those, kinds of shoes. So yeah, I love the insoles they did with the images of Sandy Bodecker on them. It was cool. They did, I think they auctioned off 10 pairs on eBay that came in like this giant box. I don't know if you saw the video, Nike has been doing a promo video with Eric Costin, I want to remember them all, Paul Rodriguez, and Alyssa Steamer. I know Alyssa Steamer because she was on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And they were talking about the special box that came in, and you could actually skate the box, which was really cool. The auctions went for, perfect, like, I think anywhere between like upper 20,000s to lower 40,000s, depending on the size. So good for you if you could get a pair. I know all the proceeds went to the Sandy Bodecker Foundation, so happy to see it go that way, but happy to see that they also did a release in skate shops and on sneakers app. A little bit bummed. I totally missed the sneakers app release. Just totally goofed on it. Forgot it was happening. Didn't even try to enter it, but I'm sure there weren't that many pairs anyways. That's a lot of words. Yeah. I'll take a moment to drink some water and let you chime in if you got anything.
There you go. I think you honestly described this beautifully. Yeah, it is one of those which fits this category great, is I don't care for the shoe. I've been very vocal about how I don't like anything about this shoe, aesthetically. But obviously the story behind it is a very cool story just to show just how committed one can be. Yeah. Obviously, and then especially like you said for Sandy Bodecker, the insoles are beautiful pictures. Mm-hmm. For there. I agree. I think this is a great shelf shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. A great shelf shoe. A great to honor, like you said. And it is it is kind of that, like you said previously for my category, very that duality of I don't like this shoe, but I also love this shoe.
Right.
Exactly. And I think, yeah, this fits perfectly. Mm-hmm. So and again, obviously went to auction just similar to its original release, which I thought fit raised a ton of money for a great foundation. So that was always beautiful when you see that. You know, if we're gonna spend way too much money for shoes,
let it go towards something.
At least have it go towards something great, sure. Which I think is you know, a great moment for the sneaker community right now to have that great moment for them to be. And then, like you said, obviously it's a dunk, and the thing I love about Dunk so much is that they can do 1,000%. This insane thing, and it, you're just like, yeah, that's what Dunks do. That's
right, like I feel like
no other shoe can do this.
I feel like it's admittedly been a while, or they're just so few and far between now where, like, the SB Dunks are, like, absolutely wild and crazy like this. Like, there's some that are, like, kind of fun and silly and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like ever since the Dunk Wave really took off, they've been kind of sticking to, like, very clean, cool colorways, which are fun. You know, a couple of, like, fun releases here and there. But this is one you see that makes you think, like, wow, they just used to do some really wild stuff.
Yeah. So it just fits. It's just why I loved Dunks growing up. That's why I will always love Dunks, is just because it is just the perfect shoe to just be like, what is the goofiest thing? What's the most wild thing we can do? And it just, everyone who loves Dunks now, back then, in the future, that's, I think, why people love Dunks so much, is because it embraces all of the just goofiness that is involved with the sneaker culture, the skating culture, just everything like that. So phenomenal honorable mention. I'm very excited to see what you have holding the top of the podium.
First place for best storytelling, and I don't know that I'm really going to be able to adequately talk about this, but for me, it is the Louis Vuitton and Nike Air Force One, obviously done under the direction of Virgil Abloh and Off-White. First things first, kind of hilarious that both you and I putting Air Force Ones at the top of our storytelling list, because neither of us really Air Force One wears. But for me, well, I'll backtrack for a second. We've both been pretty on the record and open about the fact that, like, the Off-White design language and motif is normally not our favorite thing. Some pairs from the original 10 pack with Nike, you know, Prestos, Chicago Ones, Easy, like, I like those. A lot of the other treatment has not necessarily been my cup of tea. And this is not really an exception to that. But I do think it's really important to recognize, especially amplified in, you know, rest in peace again, Virgil Abloh, the wake of his passing, that this shoe captures another era of Nike history. Unofficial Nike history, but, like, the era of bootleg Nikes with, like, people making their own Gucci or Louis Vuitton checks to go on the side of it there, and, like, you know, Dapper Dan and that whole era going right there. And so I think when I first saw this, and even still, kind of the tendency to think is, like, yeah, I get, like, that they're nodding to that. But I think, like, to stop and recognize that, like, the significance it actually took to make that collaboration happen, and that Virgil Abloh was quite possibly the only person who could do it as the head of men's creative at Louis Vuitton, and then having his foot in the door at Nike the way he did. So, like, for me, I have a level of appreciation just looking at it at, like, I think it's very, like, two ships crossing in the night. Like, I don't know that moment really would have happened in any other way, at least not that felt as authentic as it does this way. I think Virgil was arguably one of the few people, if not the only, who could make that happen. And I think he's the right person to have the authenticity to make that happen, to tell that story. That's kind of where I fall on it. I struggle with it a bit, because I was telling you earlier today, I think we've said this in episodes in the past, I struggle to put any shoe on this release, like the Dior Jordan ones a few years ago, that retail for thousands of dollars, that were super exclusive. And so then you start to think, if a sneaker's not really accessible to almost people in mass, which, like, no shoe's really accessible in mass, but at least by and large, if most people couldn't even enter for it, does it really belong on a list of sneaker of the year? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I still kind of struggle with that. Like, these went for thousands of dollars. Even if I wanted a pair, there's no way I could get a pair. But still important, I think, in the quote unquote history of sneaker culture. I kind of hate saying sneaker culture, but it's just, I feel like it's one of those things that is a moment, you know?
Yeah. And it's just even more funny that Virgil was the one to do this shoe. Cause, like you said, obviously, you know, giving that homage to those knockoffs or illegal customs that were done, because I'm pretty sure Virgil in an interview has said, you know, there's no bigger compliment than someone making a knockoff of your own shoe.
Right.
So very funny that, you know, he is quoted as saying, you know, that he doesn't mind people making, you know, reps and things like that to then give an homage to people making these illegal customs.
Yeah.
That were a big part of sneakers and sneaker history. So, and again, I think you said it, you know, very great that, yeah, I don't think Louis Vuitton would have done this if it was not for Virgil and everything he was doing at Louis Vuitton and just his fashion sense and all the things he was making with all of his creations with Nike and his and his collection. So I think great. I think a good shoe. And I think this category, I think your picks are perfect for this category in the sense of I love the storytelling of the shoe. Maybe not the shoe, but I love everything that is behind the shoe, which can make me appreciate or even want a shoe.
Yeah.
Is just based on that storytelling.
Okay, I know it seems kind of obvious, but I actually just realized that both my shoes I picked were shoes done like right after people passed away, and they're done in memory and in tribute to them, which
was not
my thought process going into them, but I will double down on it and say that like I feel that these are important to preserve those people's legacy in sneaker culture. Not that it obviously wasn't cemented with all the work they'd done prior to these, but like, you know, I think it's just beautiful for the brands they were involved with to then go back and tell their story again, officially as the brand to tell it, not just put it on us, the consumers and the sneakerheads and whoever to remember them, you know?
I think, yeah, I think fair point. Yeah, definitely etching names in stone for sure. As if they weren't already, but at least highlighting them.
Okay. Love it. We're going to leave it there. We forgot to do this in the last episode, but I remembered to do it now, and I have the graphic for the last episode, which makes me even more upset. So the recap at the end here for everyone who wants to remember what happened. Best retro of the year, both of us, Nike Air Jordan 1, Lost and Found.
Come on.
Favorite shoe you got this year, both of us, the Sneaker Politics and Asics Always Ready Gel Light 3. Worst sneaker of the year, I'm saying the Cactus Plant Flea Market and Nike CPFM1 Overgrown. My gosh, the name.
There you go.
Tanner's saying the Mischief AC1. I think I got those letters correct.
You got it right.
And then for best storytelling, I'm going with the Louis Vuitton and Nike Air Force One. And Tanner's going with the NOLA Air Force One. Kind of ironic that
so weird.
We saw strangely, well, I shouldn't say strangely eye to eye. Best retro, bit of a softball. Favorite pickup, I figured we were probably going to choose something we both got this year. Best storytelling, both being at Air Force One, that's a little bit of an anomaly. And then worst sneaker, so. Two different ball fields.
Yeah, completely. Not even the same sport.
Not even at all.
So yeah, very cool. Yeah, very fun to see. Yeah, I think retro, I mean, that's probably sneaker of the year on a lot of people's lists. Favorite pickup, huge moment for the two of us together. Weird, again, for two people who are not an Air Force One fan.
Big year.
Both put them. I'm also super against, like, all patent shoes. I'm super against one color, like, you know, monochromatic shoes. So, very weird. But, again, I think that's why that category. I think great category. I like this format, though.
Okay.
I like this format that we have for this year.
There you go. We'll continue next year. For everyone listening, for everyone watching, go ahead and let us know in the comments of this episode, what are your favorite shoes of the year for these categories? Best retro, favorite shoe you got. Doesn't have to be anything that came out this year. Worst sneaker, leave that one. I want to read those. If nothing else, comment and let me know what your worst sneaker of the year was. And best storytelling, you can leave it in the comments on YouTube. You can DM us on Instagram. You can put in the Discord if you're part of our Discord. Just let us know. We want to hear from all of you. That is going to do it for Best Sneakers of 2022 Part 2. Like Tanner said at the beginning of the episode, we will have one final episode of this year, and it will be Sneaker of the Year 2022.
Ooh.
We'll each give our own top three. We got a couple of other little elements in there that are going to be fun. I'm not going to spoil it. we're doing that episode separately for two reasons. One, because I realized it was a lot of content to try and get into this one. Two, I texted Tanner the other day that this episode, the one you're listening to right now, is season 4, episode 19, and I will be damned if I let the season pass without doing a season 4, episode 20. So,
I mean, it can only happen once.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Which, by the way, now we're getting long in the tooth. I need to wrap this up. But if you're curious, season 4, no, we're on season 4. Season 3, we did 40 episodes. Your boys stayed busy last year.
Yeah.
Good on us for taking the time this year.
Really slimmed down.
Yeah. But we got to, you know, we trimmed the fat, as they like to say in corporate.
I think so. Quality over quantity.
Thank you all for checking out another episode of State of the Shoonin. Here we go. Let's get them right. You can check us out online on our website at shoepodcast.com, which will have all the links. You can check us out on Instagram at shoepodcast. What's the next one we got here? Check us out on youtube.com/@shoepodcast. And last but not least, if you want to support the show, you can do so over at patreon.com/shoepodcast. It's a pretty pathetic $2 a month. You get early access to all the episodes before everyone else. Very worth it. Damn. We appreciate our Patreon supporters. Other one in there that is not on the list on the little graphic on the screen, Discord. We have a Discord. If you want to come chat with us, just DM us on Instagram. We'll get you the link. If you watched the video this far, we know you like it. Please make sure to like the video. Please subscribe to the channel. We just broke 100 subscribers. Big moment for the pod here. We're trying to run that up. Trying to run that up next year. We're going 4 digits. I'm calling it. Would be explosive growth, but we're gonna get there.
Hey,
hold me to it.
I got you.
If we don't get to 4 digit subscribers by next year, we scrap Sneaker of the Year and we only do best storytelling. That'll be my punishment. Okay. That'll be my punishment if we don't get there.
Sorry, guys.
All right, sorry, guys. Only can do stories. All right. We are running long. So, Tanner, I'm going to trust you to get us out of here. What do you got to tell the people before we go?
Winter is here. Okay. Make sure that you're changing your air filters regularly.
Oh.
Please. Tire pressure, not a thing to blow off. I know it's cold. People say that the tires get low, but it's always a good thing. Make sure. Check your tires. Okay, please be safe on the roads.
Yep.
It's going to get cold.
Yep.
All right. Hey, eat an orange.
Okay. Not where I thought the third one was going. Okay.
Scurvy, you know, I don't know.
One more for the cold. Bring those pets inside. If you're cold, they're cold. Bring those pets inside.
Thank you. Thank you. Why'd you get a pet if you're just going to keep it outside?
Exactly. Exactly. Spend some time with it. You love it.
Yeah. Gosh darn.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for checking out another episode of State of the Shoonin. We'll be back next week with another one. I'm your co-host, Ryan Landry.
I'm your co-host, Tanner Young.
Stay hydrated, kids.
Arr, arr.